It's here and it's glorious. It's the NFL season. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've got so much planned for today. This rundown is basically on fire right now. We'll get to our new King of the Mountain segment where we will determine throughout the season what is the greatest NFL team of all time. We kick it off with a bang today, the 98 Vikings versus the 72 undefeated Miami Dolphins. This is nuts. But Perloff, this is your team mounting their title defense tonight. They've been downplaying the championship. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to look at it. No one wants to rewatch the game. No one's going to be out there to watch the banner get hung in Lincoln Financial Field. Do you like how the Eagles are downplaying as opposed to saying, hey, we're the champs, come beat us? Instead, they're saying last year is over. It means nothing.
Last year? What happened last year? I don't even know what you're talking about. I love it because, listen, we all know the formula for what can go wrong with a champion. Egos get in the way, injuries happen, you lose guys to a piece of salary cap, you lose coaches. A lot of that is happening. They did lose coaches. Obviously, Kellen Moore down in New Orleans doesn't make me feel great exactly. And they lost some talent. The thing about the Super Bowl winner, you really have to keep focus. I think that for a team like the Eagles, you look at your quarterback. Jalen Hurts is obviously the leader of this let's not look backward movement. He's so stoic. It's incredible. Like, if you see any quote from him, it seems like he wasn't even happy the moment after winning the Super Bowl. Remember when Nick Saban would win the national championship and then he would go in the locker room and call recruits?
Yeah.
No joy. I love that out of my quarterback.
No joy.
Yeah.
Do not enjoy this.
So I think Jalen Hurts, you might not think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL, but as far as sort of leadership and intangibles of a quarterback, he is top notch. And I feel like he's setting the tone here. His sort of non-smiling attitude, like, you know, they're not going out to celebrate the banner ceremony tonight. That turns out might be more logistical than actually inspiring.
Right.
But I feel like Jalen Hurts is not going to let this team look backward. So I think it's really, really good. Because I don't think the Eagles are so good that they're just going to roll over everybody and get to the Super Bowl. Like, it's a thin margin at the top. Even last year, they barely beat the Rams. You know, the Packers gave them a tough time. Yeah, they clobbered the Commanders and the Chiefs. But I don't think they're so far head and shoulders above everyone else that they can let any kind of letdown sneak in. So this, to me, is a really, really good idea.
Do you think it's going to work?
Ultimately, we're doing a Super Bowl picks later in the show. I have some concerns about the Eagles. I have some concerns
it's a
about
safe
the,
space, sort of.
The wear and tear of going so deep into last year with Saquon Barkley. That's my number one concern.
Yeah.
I do worry that they had a great run of health on defense last year. Always really, really scary. I am not picking the Eagles this year.
Okay.
Are you?
Well, I still think they're the team to beat in the NFC, but the one thing about Jalen Hurts, you're right about this. The Eagles are a team, and Philadelphia is a city, quite frankly, that I don't think really does well when they are King of the Mountain. This is a city that's more based on Rocky, you know, your fictional boxer,
yeah,
the underdog.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts, with the air quotes disrespect of some people not putting him in the top five of quarterbacks, how dare they, when you have a generational golden era of quarterbacks.
Wait,
here.
Jalen Hurts didn't say that, though.
No, but there's no, Jalen Hurts would never say that.
Yeah,
I don't know what he thinks publicly.
Right, okay, I just want to make that clear.
No, but like, even his own, you know, there was trouble with the passing attack last year. A.J. Brown came out and said as much. I mean, the Eagles had to acknowledge that. Now they win, so all of that gets erased. But no, this is a very important, like, corner for Jalen Hurts to carve out. The nobody respects me as the quarterback,
right?
Something that the team and the city and all that can get behind, because it's really hard to find bulletin board material when you whitewash the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl. I mean, they are the dynasty of our era. Mahomes is the quarterback maybe of all time when all this is said and done. And you vanquish them.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to say, well, you know, we're the little engine that could. This is the one area where you get to say, maybe there is this Jalen Hurts disrespect and maybe they can all rally around that. Can I tell you what I think is the biggest thing standing in the way of the Philadelphia Eagles repeating as Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, what?
It's not the Rams. Spoiler, I don't have the Rams making the playoffs. It's not the Green Bay Packers. I have a whole reason too before our Rams fans get mad at me. It's not the 49ers. It's not another team. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like you guys at times are barely keeping things together, at least on the outside, right? That's the perception.
How so?
Because I always feel like this team is teetering, and maybe they need that. Maybe they need a little of that juice. But A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, you will not convince me yet that that relationship is totally kumbaya. I do, and maybe that's good for them. Maybe they need a little agita. Maybe they need a little angst between them. You will not convince me that Nick Sirianni is not going to do something that is distracting to this team in a bad way. You will not convince me that, you know, everything is just going to go well. You talked about, I don't know if it's necessarily egos, maybe with A.J. Brown. It's not so much egos. I just think there's a vulnerability that did not show in the Super Bowl. That's for sure. You guys were dominant. But there is always this vulnerability. The city is always ready to turn on the quarterback. The city's always ready to turn on the head coach. And I think it's going to be a bumpier ride. And that's my thing. I think the biggest thing standing in the way of the Eagles are the Eagles and the expectations.
There are a couple things. Every great team has a diva wide receiver, right? Like the Chiefs had Tariq Hill, who is always malcontent. A.J. Brown, by the way, was a malcontent in Tennessee. That's why he's not there. He's going to be a malcontent. You have to, every great team, you know, we're doing the great teams. The 2007 Patriots had Randy Moss, who sort of malcontented his way out of Minnesota. That is part of this thing about being a great team. You're always going to have an unhappy wide receiver because that's how wide receivers are built. They need targets.
Yeah.
So every time the ball doesn't go to them, they get angry. That's what your great receivers do. So I can't look at that as a negative. Eventually, I'm sure A.J. Brown will be gone and the juggernaut will roll on. Now, here's the thing where I totally disagree.
Okay.
You're wrong about Sirianni.
Okay.
Nick Sirianni's a good head coach. I mean, he is.
What does he do?
He is large and in charge in that locker room.
No, Big Dom's large and in charge.
No, I think Nick Sirianni is secretly pulling the levers on the emotion of this team. I really do. And I never thought that until I got to the Eagles celebration party after the Super Bowl win in New Orleans. Mm. And there's an aura around that guy. First of all, he's a lot bigger than people think on the sideline.
I know you think that's important, that Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins is not big enough to command respect, like physically.
Sirianni, maybe it's because he just won a Super Bowl. He's got a lot of aura. I mean, obviously the players love him. I think he is misunderstood. I really do. I was with you like over the last couple of years. Like, what does this guy do? Like, don't let him call plays. That's never a good sign when you don't want your head coach to call plays.
Yeah.
But I think as far as like what a coach actually does, Nick Sirianni is way better at it than you think he is and a lot of people think he is.
Well, here's the thing about Nick Sirianni. They're going to need him a lot more this year because what happened last time when the Eagles – you know, lost coordinators after going to the Super Bowl, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, they lost their offensive coordinator, right?
Right. Well, no, it was Steichen and you.
I know, but I'm saying this year they only lost their offensive coordinator. Right,
Fangio,
exactly.
Still with the defense. We all know Vic Fangio has been around forever. I'll give you $100 if you can name the offensive coordinator for the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Andrew Bogish.
He's not here today. That's where he is. He's in Philadelphia designing up plays in the dirt for Jalen Hurts. His name's Kevin Petullo.
Kevin, counterpoint, who thought Kellen Moore was designing a Super Bowl winning offense before last year?
I had heard of him. I mean,
he was a sweet lefty quarterback at Boise State.
Did love him at Boise. Not so much with the Cowboys, but you know, listen.
He's good with the Cowboys, but yeah.
He was fine. They got better with McCarthy. That's fine, whatever. So this is the thing. I don't know Kevin Petullo, and neither do you.
Don't know Kevin Petullo? Kevin? Kev?
Yeah.
Kev Dog?
Yeah, Kev. Who's going to be, if somehow the Eagles, you know, start the season 2-2, is probably going to be floating down the Schuylkill. So I just...
Oh, my God. Did you just call it the Schuylkill?
Is that what it's called? The Schuylkill. Oh, right. Whatever. That river. So this is my point. You actually are going to need a little more Sirianni this year as far as the offense. And if I'm recalling correctly, the last time this happened when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, you started off the next season gangbusters, right? 10-1. But it really fell apart, and we got a lot of reporting at the time that Jalen Hurts was not really in love with the offense, that he and Sirianni butted heads. Now, they all got over it, and they won last year. So I guess everything's fine. Wait 5 minutes. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I don't trust the relationship between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, and I don't trust the relationship between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. So that's me. I'm not to rain on your parade. You guys are the winners. But if we really are turning the page, and if Jalen Hurts is throwing everything out from last year, well, then I get to turn the page, too, and wonder about these relationships and whether they're going to hold.
Well, I think the problem 2 years ago, one, they had these fossils at cornerback that were destroying them. I mean... remember when they traded for Kevin Byard and first of all, he wasn't even trying. Second of all, he was so washed. Like, they got desperate in their back four. That was a big problem 2 years ago. And their offense struggled a lot, but their defense was so bad. The same thing could happen this year. Listen, not having C.J. Gardner-Johnson definitely bothers me. I think their back seven is the issue here. And can the offensive line stay healthy? Because obviously they've had a couple little nicks and bruises this preseason. But as far as the offensive coordinator, how hard is it? Like, I could offensive coordinate this team. All right, hike the ball. The offensive line, destroy the defensive line, and Saquon run through a giant hole. Touchdown. Ready? What is so hard about that, Maggie?
But here's the thing. Even you are very worried about Saquon's durability.
Yeah, now, yeah.
I don't know if you have, like, you don't have evidence. Like, he did have injuries earlier in his career. It's just literally the workload for someone like that. You usually don't see a great follow-up season.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's the freak. He can, because he's so strong. Yeah. But Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago was like
Saquon Barkley.
Was Saquon Barkley. You know, he was basically probably even more Saquon Barkley than Saquon Barkley. Totally fell apart. And Saquon's not young. So, is he 28? You know, that is a concern, and their backup, Will Shipley, is a big fantasy darling right now. Mm. What does that tell you? Every league is scrambling to get Will Shipley. That is part of the concern. But again, I one thing I disagree, and hey, I might be proven wrong, that Nick Sirianni is the man. He's like secretly, he's the godfather more than we know it. More,
no,
you know,
that's disrespect to Howie Roseman.
No, he
is the godfather.
I got to tell you, I'll bet you even Howie defers to Nick Sirianni. I know that sounds crazy, but I think there's this idea that Nick Sirianni's just a puppet for Howie Roseman. He's this big, dumb upstate New York guy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more going on there.
It's not big, dumb upstate New York. It's just earnest, like, in a way that it's kind of like he's more of a mascot than a head coach. I'm not calling him dumb. I'm just saying I think he's more, he is the rah-rah guy. He is the vibes guy. So more mascot than head coach. And here's the thing. Nick Sirianni doesn't even get to pick his assistant coaches. Like, who's the puppet master? Usually the coach at least has, you know, the GM does the personnel stuff. They pick the players. And at least the coach can pick his own coaches.
Yeah,
that didn't even happen in Philadelphia.
Well, I think Sirianni's been after Vic Fangio forever. I think that was I think Sirianni's wanted, what happened last year was they wanted to get, 2 years ago, they wanted to get Vic Fangio. And then something happened and the contract got screwed up and he signed with Miami. Like, Fangio gives me a lot of faith in this team. But that being said, their schedule is brutal.
Yep.
And it's, you know what? And Andrew Bogus, who does updates for us, is probably going to be mad at me saying this. Like, there's a lot of wear and tear and there's a lot of fatigue going deep into February. It's not the youngest team in the world. There's, you know, it's not. Also, how many teams have repeated? Just two. This decade. Yeah. This century. The Patriots and the Chiefs, very, very hard to repeat. I'm well aware of this, but I don't think Nick Sirianni is going to be the reason. I actually don't even think egos are going to be the reason. I understand where you're coming from, but I think this Philly team, especially because I watched a documentary last night, that is a brotherhood.
Yeah,
your quarterback's a superhero.
That is a brotherhood.
It's a family. I've never heard that before. Football team.
I got to tell you, at the very last moments of the Super Bowl, when Jalen Hurts hugs Saquon Barkley and says, "You are the reason we're here." And Saquon Barkley's like, "No, you are the reason." And it was just like a love fest.
Yeah. Oh, I almost had a tear there. That was really good.
I was weeping. Oh, I was openly weeping.
Get a room.
I was like, no, you're both the reason. I love both of you.
The three of you guys get a room.
Gladly.
That'd be interesting.
Gladly.
So the chat is mad at me, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, claiming I am disrespecting the champs. You know, at least we're talking about the champs. This game has been so overshadowed by the dingbat Dallas Cowboys that you're lucky we're even giving the Philadelphia Eagles the 13 minutes that we've given them, because no one else is giving them that today. And by the way, I will say, this game is actually way more important for Dallas than it is for Philadelphia.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
No-brainer.
Oh, I don't know if this is important. I mean, like, Dallas to get the play. They don't have to win in Philly to get the playoffs. Let's face it. If they lose this game, like, yeah, you lose at Philly on opening night where the home team's like 15-5. I don't think it's super important for the Cowboys.
No. It's not the money line I'm talking about. It's not the win-loss.
Your perception.
It's got to be how it looks. Yeah, nobody's expecting the Dallas Cowboys to win this game.
Wait, are we Jerry Jones? Are we all about perception? Like, actually, we have a real season here.
No,
it's not about documentaries and talking heads. There's actually, like, win-losses that happen here, Maggie.
Perception is all the Cowboys have at this point. This is it. The how people talk about the team is the only thing they have left. Just ask them. They'll
you sound like
you.
Jerry. Who cares how they talk about the team? What is their win-loss record is all that should matter.
That's like 15th on the things that matter to Jerry Jones. But I was 100% proven right by that over the last 3 or 4 months. But
thank you. Thank you for using the word dingbat Dallas Cowboys. You sound like my dad. That's an old expression.
I was going to say something worse, but it's terrestrial radio. We still are governed by the FCC. There are laws in this country. No, I think this is my thing is, if the Cowboys get blown out, you know, I'm not going participation trophies. It's the NFL. They're all pros. They're all getting
get
paid tons of money.
Together.
But exactly, like, get your damn act together. And how much does this Micah trade right before the season, does it actually galvanize them? Like, there is a world, Pearl, where, you know, this is actually a major win for the Cowboys. Maybe not actually in the win-loss column, but if the defense looks good, if they actually can stop the run, like, I don't know, does Kenny Clark, like, stuff Saquon Barkley at the goal line? Do we have this, like, maybe storybook?
There ain't no Saquon Barkley at
the
goal line.
Tush push, I get it.
Yeah. Could they? Unintended consequences.
Yeah,
there happens.
Like, is there a world where the team actually does look a lot better, and maybe the pressure moves to Micah Parsons and the Packers now, and maybe the Cowboys play a little freer again?
Yep.
All this is to be determined tonight, but it's still really this game matters for Dallas and how it looks.
I totally disagree with that. Like this game matters. Let's stop with all the Cowboys nonsense. Let's actually talk about X's and O's. It's all that is done. It was a summer of Jerry going on some weird victory tour for being relevant. Like, now it's actually, you nailed it. Can Kenny Clark help stop the run? And to me, the big question mark with the Cowboys is, what is George Pickens? If they turn this into two superstar wide receivers, as an Eagles fan, I'm going to be like, how did the universe let this happen? It's kind of like when your stupid Bills traded Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. Like, this could be something good. This is, if you're afraid of the Cowboys, that George Pickens to me has to be the focal point. Remember, we were talking about him so much in the spring? He kind of became back burner, which is a good thing for the Cowboys. Like, he's not causing any trouble.
Yeah, now. If he has two targets tonight and you get a reporter around his locker, you don't know what I don't know what he's going to say. So, yeah, that's all there. It's very intriguing, but doesn't matter how it looks for the Cowboys tonight. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I say yes, Perloff says no.
No.
And also, are the Eagles, they're saying in the chat, one-hit wonder. I didn't say that. They went to a Super Bowl and lost, so you can't say they're a one-hit wonder. They've been around this, they've been in the game, and they've been a factor for many, many years to call them a one-hit wonder, but as far as repeating...
Well, they won in 17.
They won in 17. Different, different quarterback,
coach. But, you know, the common thread would be Howie Roseman, as GM, built the team.
That's true.
So, yeah, they don't feel, what a wonder. They feel like kind of, in this age, you know, it's hard to have dynasties. Like, the Chiefs are the dynasty, but they are the foe. And I think everyone's doing their Super Bowl picks. I've seen a lot of Eagles.
Yeah, I am too.
It's dangerous, though. You know, this is hard, by the way. Did you grind last night?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a weird thing to ask, but yes, I did. You have to go through the win-losses of all these teams is what you're talking about you actually want to get to a true, like, who's going to make the playoffs. And it was hard because I want to pick these other teams, like the out-of-nowhere teams, but once you start going through win-losses, it's difficult.
I want
to... You're going to the backpack.
Oh, shoot. My notes, I went through every win-loss of the whole season, and the records, I didn't like them.
What, do you have a bathing suit in there? What's going on?
I have a lot going on my back. I got to find... Oh, crud. I left them. I have a massive thing of notes because I did every game, and then I went back. I'm like, I don't like these records. So I had to go back and reverse all these games. It took
and you
me,
forgot
took
it?
Me 2 hours.
Oh, God.
But no, I have it written what I ended up with. And then I sat with my daughter. I said, get a calculator out. I got to make sure my wins match with my losses. And it's 270 on both sides, so we're good. It is hard. This year, I got to tell you, Maggie, strength of schedule, going to play into this. Yep. I know you think of the same exact thing.
I am thinking that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Does it matter how it looks for the Cowboys tonight? To me, yes. Perloff says no. And also, Eagles repeating? How confident do you feel about that?
You know, I love a lefty athlete. Yeah.
Does Pablo Torre understand that it's football season now? Guy drops this bombshell NBA scandal right in our laps on the eve of the football season, the NFL season. Pablo, not now.
Did you grind last night?
But it, honestly, the scandal is so salacious. We got to go through the details with you. Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers now in the crosshairs. So we'll get to that. 888-710 for ISN. It's Maggie and Perloff Show.
All right, Maggie, it's football season, and that means Prize Picks. Every day we make choices, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. With millions of users and billions of dollars awarded in winnings, Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. We're there. It's so exciting. I was telling you how much I was laughing. There's multiple. Adam Devine is one of my favorite actors doing Prize Picks ads.
Yeah.
Him and Marshawn Lynch have to have a movie because they are enjoying Prize. Yeah. Just like you and me, they enjoy Prize Picks. I mean, it's just a commercial, but they're cracking me up. The app, so easy to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you could win big.
Absolutely love Prize Picks. Perloff and I are obsessed. You're going to hear about it all season long because it is just fun. It's safe, secure, it's fast, and it's the most fan-friendly app to make your picks. We will stand by that. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. I don't know if anyone out there in the country has kids. My kids, I imagine so. I haven't looked at the latest Census Bureau. My kids start school late in New York. So last night, to paint a little picture, it was pure panic mode in the Perloff household. Getting ready for first day of school. Like Maggie and I were both breaking down every game of the NFL season to try and pick a Super Bowl winner. Eagles documentary is on, getting ready for tonight. I'm actually not going out to watch the game, Eagles Cowboys, making cheesesteaks at home.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I bought the shaved beef at Trader Joe's, ready to go, Maggie. You're more than welcome to come over, have a cheesesteak at the Perloff household.
Provolone or American? What are you doing?
I don't have cheese yet. I'll probably buy some Cheese Whiz. Can you buy Cheese Whiz in a grocery store? I imagine.
Yeah, of course. It's America. I'm sorry.
Fry some onions up, ready to go. It's going to be an incredible celebration. I'll probably do a little face paint. I don't have really decided yet.
You want to get your Jalen Hurts jerseys around here. You might want to bring that home so you can wear it.
Now, normally I would go to a bar for this game, but I don't know if I can watch anymore in a bar. Like, I need to really focus tonight.
Yeah, well, you never know when Nick Sirianni is going to call you off the bench a couple plays.
You're laughing at me. Wait till Sunday night when your Bills play the Ravens. You're going to be 40 times more tense than I am.
I'm a puddle. Already just thinking about it. But we're asking today, does it matter how the Cowboys look? Philadelphia, you want to talk about whether or not they can repeat? That's all on the table for you. But does it matter, considering this has been kind of like the offseason of the Cowboys? I hate to say it because I'm playing right into Jerry's hands. But you trade the best pass rusher, one of them, in the NFL. You're going to get a lot of attention. Andreas is in Chicago. Andreas, does it matter how it looks tonight for Jerry and company?
So I'm a Cowboys fan. I've called in, you know, in before. The one thing I got going for me is Dak's record against the Eagles. He's 9-4, and he's got a winning match against Jalen Hurts 2-1. I've always said this: if Dak remains healthy for us in the season, that the Cowboys make the playoffs. When he's injured, we don't make the playoffs. That's been his MO in his career. What do y'all think about that?
Oh, yeah, the winning percentage of Dak Prescott when he's healthy is undeniable. It is very, very high. That's a real factor here. So Dak's on the field. I think it's close to, it's in the 60s. So there's logic there, Maggie.
Yeah, there is. You know, you think that the offensive line's going to be better. I don't know what the run game's going to be like. See, this is where I get a little nervous for Dak Prescott. If you don't have a representative run game, now I'm going to be Maggie football here and break it down. I think you're just basically just handing to the other team, hey, Dak Prescott's going to be sitting back here. He's going to be looking for Lamb and George Pickens. They're going to want to be run heavy. And can that offensive line protect him? And is he going to be a bit of a sitting duck back there? Yeah. Because X's and O's and like what, like, rah, 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 football?
I would hardly say this.
And
is,
he's got two lower body injuries. He's on the wrong side of 30. All those things maybe add up to him being a bit vulnerable, but I don't know.
I wouldn't exactly say that was Maggie football to say. Say if there's no run game, there might be too much on Dak. That's not exactly Brian Baldinger's breakdown. So
football.
One thing about this to me, if you want to go into X's and O's, can a great offensive line, is that all you need for a run game? Because I know Javonte Williams is off, you know, basically the garbage heap. Miles Sanders, same thing. Jaden Blue is a rookie. So like, is it all about the running back or is it about the offensive line? So I think that's really going to be the test.
Jason is in Washington, D.C. Jason, what do you see tonight?
What I see tonight, and I want to say good morning. I'm a Cowboys fan as well. So you guys talked about, well, I want to talk about the defensive line, but if I can just say one thing, quick thing about the offensive line.
Sure.
I think we'll be much improved this year. Last year we had Rico Dowdell running the football. And I thought the offensive line with some injuries, I thought they didn't open up enough holes for Rico. I thought Rico had to make a lot of that on his own. I think this year with the first game, everybody's completely healthy. Now, I know we're not going to make a living running at Carter and Davis all game long.
Yeah.
You can forget that. They're the greatest. They're the two best interior defensive linemen in all of football. So we're not going to make a living. We just need to run enough to keep them honest, to let them know that we will run.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing with that. So I'm good with that.
Jason, I commend you. You're a Eagle fan, or excuse me, a Cowboy fan living in Washington, D.C. That is enemy territory for sure.
It's rough. It's rough. on the defensive side, I feel like if we can just slow Barkley down a little bit. Barkley had some monster games last year. I felt like he picked up yards where he really crippled us because they kept third downs alive. I feel like if we can slow Barkley down a little bit through Clark's and Osa's gaps and make them throw a little bit more, maybe make Hurts hold the ball a little bit more because the running game is not working, I feel like we have a chance.
Yeah, Jason, that's going to be the formula. Yeah. And thank you. You know what? We haven't even touched on, and that was a good breakdown there from Jason in D.C., Cowboy fan. But we haven't even touched on, this is Brian Schottenheimer's debut. Schottenheimer, always known, running the football. This is like that. He's been 30 years in the NFL as an assistant or whatever, and he's always been known as a guy who wants to run the ball. So do we see a little Schottenheimer magic on this game plan?
Yeah, I mean, listen, what was the caller's name?
Jason.
Yeah, Jason basically should be the new coordinator for the Eagles. That was a brilliant breakdown.
Felt like he was using a telescope.
Yeah, I mean, is that the name of the game in the NFL? You slow down the other offense by controlling the ball on the ground. That's going to be Schottenheimer's theory. Oh, man, though. It all sounds good in theory, but remember, there's no Micah Parsons out there. Is Jalen Hurts going to be scared at all when he drops back? Are they going to have any pass rush on Jalen Hurts?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter how it looks tonight for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to the big NBA scandal in just a little bit that dropped yesterday. Peter Schwartz here with us doing updates this morning. Hey, Peter.
Good morning, everybody. What the heck was that? Don't miss any of the action this football season. I got to start over again now because
that's Kawhi Leonard.
It's Kawhi
laughing,
Leonard.
Dude. You never heard that drop?
I never heard that drop.
No, he's the worst laugher in all of sports.
Worst? Best? That's a great laugh.
That's what?
It was so unexpected.
Oh,
we'd never heard him laugh before.
That is 100% the worst laugh. You think that's the best laugh?
EJ, poll question. Kawhi Leonard, best laugh, worst laugh? Peter, back to you.
Yeah, best in an ironic way.
Just painful. Like don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Pico DeGoyo.
Yes, that I remember. The NFL season kicks off tonight in Philadelphia as the Super Bowl champion Eagles host the Cowboys. The Eagles will unveil their championship banner, but Saquon Barkley says that is not the priority tonight.
See it fall down, put a smile on your face, but then got to go right to work. Got a division opponent coming in. on a Thursday night football game and start of a new season. So, you know, what we did last year was special. It's going to be cool to have that moment, but most important thing is win that football game, and that's where our focus is.
I don't buy that some people said they're not even going to watch it. You think people are really not going to watch the ceremony?
I don't have all the details. I read last time they won in 2017, they didn't watch it just because they weren't on the field at the time. They were still in the locker room. I don't know. Like, why would you watch it? Like, don't you have to? I would be prepared for a game. I'm not even being like hyperbole. Like, you have a lot of assignments coming up in the next 3 hours.
But it's a matter of a couple of minutes to watch your big accomplishment.
So you think they're going to watch on TV or in person? Like, come out on the
team
field.
Should be out on the field when that happens. Like, why do they have to do it while the team is still in the locker room? Why can't they come on the field and say, here's the banner, and they watch the banner go down?
Well, can I also say, as a television product, I'd actually want to see this. So if I'm Amazon tonight, what I would want, in theory, is I want the Eagles on the field. I want the highlight reel that's probably going to run. They're going to do some big, all the highlights of the season and the right. Super Bowl and Saquon's backwards jump and the hurdle and all of that stuff, and then them raising Lombardi. Then you lower the banner because you got to get the crowd into a frenzy. And I want to see if any of the players, like, are they hyped? Are they shed a tear? Like, as a television producer, I want to see the Eagles' faces.
I think
Nick Sirianni's definitely going to cry. I mean, he cries all the time.
I think this is NBC usually gets the opener, right?
Oh, right. NBC. Right. Sorry, not
right.
Amazon.
So, NBC. I mean, then you get in some logistics. Are they? I don't remember if they show it. My only memory of the last time the Eagles did this was Sylvester Stallone came out and rang the bell.
Wow, it's bigger.
Yeah, for the first game after they won a championship the last time.
Leading into the Rocky thing again, huh? Get a new bit, guys.
Well, I wonder, like,
Manny,
is this
going to
be,
jest.
Is it, you know, they're going to incorporate Bradley Cooper and Kevin Hart somehow. So this is going to be a full on entertainment product.
It's only going to be the, 15th straight year that they open the season.
There's going to be a 3 minute buddy cop video of, Abbott Elementary is going to be in the mix. It's going to be fantastic.
Let's bring Ben Simmons along. Let's get Charles Barkley too.
One guy,
Kelsey.
You guys can have Will Smith. We don't need him here.
What? Get rid of Will already?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Kevin Hart and Bradley Cooper have surpassed Will Smith. Will Smith used to be our guy. We'll take Meek Mill. All the celebs are fine.
Jeez, you smack one guy at the Oscars, and all of a sudden your whole entire city.
Savannah Guthrie is a big Eagles
fan
from the Today Show.
Anne Hathaway showed up last year.
Bandwagon.
Dicey.
Will Smith belongs in the Drake category of fans. Super fans.
Wow.
I mean, you guys don't feel that way? Is he back?
He's rapping.
Gotta be. It did get weird there with Will Smith for a minute.
I mean, did you guys see the latest controversy? Is he put out a concert video and everyone says the fans are made out of AI?
I did hear about that. Yeah, I did see that.
That's
crazy.
That's not what you want.
No, I don't think Will Smith is back at the 50-yard line. I'm sorry. He used to be a great super fan.
Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer says his team will be ready to go tonight.
It's going to be pretty consistent throughout the course of the deal. We're guaranteed 17 of these. This is the first one of that. I think our guys will play well. But, again, that's kind of going to be my message most weeks.
Kickoff tonight's at 8:20 Eastern Time. Other NFL news, the Koch family has reportedly agreed to buy a 10% stake in the New York Giants. The deal would come with a $10 billion valuation and is pending approval by league owners and could come as soon as the next meeting in October.
Is that like the Koch family?
It's the Koch
or different?
Family.
Oh, is it Koch? Looks
Republican donor. The Koch family, very political.
Looks
family.
Like Koch to me.
I think they're maybe the richest people in the country.
No, not anymore.
Now it's the tech guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I literally never heard of this family until I just read the story.
The Kochs?
Really?
Never. I remember Ed Koch was the mayor of New York City.
Not the same family.
No, not the same family. And then remember there was a relief pitcher for the A's, Billy Koch.
If he's part of this family,
that's literally what I saw. I'm like, oh, it's the Koch family. I never heard of this family before. Maybe I'm not watching enough CNN.
No, I don't think it's like that. I think it's they probably helped shape most of the policies that we all live our life by on a daily basis.
Well, then I have some homework to do.
Yeah, we'll get your pronunciation guide. No, that's a it's a big political family, and the she's the widow. The one of the brothers died recently.
Yeah, I mean they're all getting up
now.
There.
They're getting into sports.
I'll take an L on this.
The living brother Charles Koch is 89.
Oh, really?
So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just take a big fat L on this.
No, that's fine.
I think Wichita State is the...
Yeah,
that's isn't that where
big,
they're big
that's
in
our
the,
big school, yeah.
The college donations? Peter, that's where we're going to... Yes, go
All right, well, I feel like I learn something every time I'm here, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. It's just funny to me that somehow Peter ended up in a room somehow with these people, and it was like, oh, Mr. Koch?
Let me ask you a question, though. Isn't the role of your job to teach the audience something? You're not supposed to be the one learning.
But I had no idea who this family was. Like, 90-something.
You thought Ed Koch's granddaughter bought the team?
No, I didn't think it was this. I'm looking at the name and not knowing who this family was. I just assumed, and you know what happens when you assume. Yeah. I assumed it was Koch. Mm-hmm. Never heard of the family before,
Senator
before,
Victor,
though. Victor Webinyama?
All right, yeah. I get it.
I'm sorry.
You're not politically oriented necessarily.
You know what? It's okay. Yesterday, I forgot what year the moon landing was, and I thought Perloff was going to throw me out of the studio.
Well, you thought the game tonight was on Amazon.
I did. That went a little more forgivable.
Well, it is Thursday night. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That is not an unforgivable sin at all. Believe me. For years, they were behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah. During the break, Peter, we'll explain how the world really works.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Zachary Risache.
We will get to big scandal, the big news. Clippers, Steve Ballmer, maybe as rich as the Kochs, maybe richer, actually. Rich people doing potentially bad things. Get to that next.
Toilets!
Megan Perloff show. Something got very serious around here.
Oh,
Dangerous minds.
Yeah, blame Coolio for that.
May he rest in peace. Okay, we're asking you today a couple things. Number one, does it matter tonight how it looks for the Dallas Cowboys? Considering they trade away Micah Parsons, they will tell you they are selling out to stop the run. Well, here's your assignment. Saquon Barkley, good luck with all that. Bill is in Houston. Bill, does it matter how it looks for the Cowboys?
Well, I think it does. I am looking forward to seeing this game, and but on another point, I appreciate you and Perloff and your use of the English language almost as much as your sports knowledge. But the Eagles, Saquon Barkley is in his ninth year. He did have 345 carries last year. Running backs fall off with multiple 300 carry years. But I think Jalen Hurts and his stoicism, I think he's going to guide him back to the promised land. But tonight's game, you also pointed out that every great Super Bowl team has a malcontent, too, and that's A.J. Brown, right? And,
yeah.
I would even term him a ne'er-do-well, if you're going to use words like that. So that's my word. But
like breaking out the thesaurus. I love it.
A ne'er-do-well engaged in tomfoolery, even,
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't want a flim-flam artist out there, Bill.
Oh, please. This is very good.
All right. Here's the thing about that. I know it's probably good to have, Bill, healthy competition in the locker room, right? I think that's okay. Guys don't have to be best friends to win a championship. Mm-hmm. We know that. However, this is where I worry a bit for the Eagles. And, Bill, thank you so much. You go quickly from ne'er-do-well and malcontent to cancer, to distraction. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's happened yet or that it's going to happen. Maybe it won't. But I don't trust it necessarily that the Eagles are going to handle their success so easily.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, A.J. Brown, by the way, I don't think he's a ne'er-do-well. I think he's a little bit closer to the middle as a player. Like, he's not Tyreek Hill. Tua came out this summer in Miami, the Dolphins quarterback, and said, we basically still don't get along. Like, I think A.J. Brown gets along with a lot of his teammates. The guy, he does have his own kind of book club, Maggie. He reads a lot. I don't think he's as bad as a painting. I think also every team needs kind of a somewhat scary guy. Like the Steelers always had James Harrison. Eagles have that in Jalen Carter. Now he seems like a ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, well, he's got real things. Like
well, that was a long time ago. Well, in NFL terms, but like I think he's still like he puts on this face during games. Like he does not seem to be. He seems like the guy who people are scared of. I think you need that too.
Yeah, and he's young in his career.
Yeah.
And how does he handle success? And how do they all handle success?
It's a great question. You have to be in the NFL. You have to live on the edge a little bit. That's the amazing thing about the Chiefs are all these sort of nice guys who, for some reason, the nation turned against.
Yeah, some nice guys.
Who's not nice on the Chiefs?
Well, I'm just saying it's not like the Chiefs are they always take
Rashee Rice.
Like, yeah, I was going to say Rashee Rice was suspended for the first six games. I don't know what he's like personally, yeah, but obviously like, he was reckless in the way he was driving. So it's like they'll take guys who maybe have some personality things like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but then they traded him. I'm saying the guys who've stayed, Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Isaiah Pacheco is an amazing story. Nick Bolton, like they have a lot of like high character guys. Anyway.
Yeah, but they had the Frank Clarks of the world, too. I mean, there was guys who had some serious
Those guys
stuff.
Are all gone, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
But they won Super Bowls with those
dudes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you need them.
I think, listen, what I'm not talking about is like the makeup of the locker room in terms of what it took to win the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the makeup of the locker room now that you've won it, you know? And it's the 2017 Eagles, like, think about that, right? What a out of nowhere in so many ways story, because they go to the backup quarterback in Nick Foles, and it's Doug Peterson, who was not like known to be this great coaching genius. They beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, puts them in a different stratosphere, and 4 years later, Doug Peterson is gone, and that whole team changed. I don't know.
Brad, yeah, I think a lot of that was personnel, too. I don't think it's just like locker room character. I mean, I think teams are built certain ways. They were not necessarily built for sustained success.
Brad is in Oregon. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, it's funny that talking about the Cowboys, whether they play good tonight in a close game or whether they get blown out tonight, going to be talking about them tomorrow morning. And it just seems like there's other games out there that are more interesting. This weekend, I know it's opening game in the NFL tonight, but there's more games out there I think are more interesting than this game here.
Yeah.
And we play right into Jerry Jones' hand every single day, whether it's good or it's bad, and it just, after a while, kind of gets tiresome about Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. As far as the Eagles repeating, I think the biggest thing is if they can stay as healthy as they were last year,
sure,
all year long, I think they've got a great chance of repeating. But that's the $60,000 question, is that,
yeah, Brad, this is what the remarkable, thank you for the call, the remarkable thing about the Chiefs all these years is just how deep they're playing into the postseason. Now, they were hurt. Now, they've gone through their injuries, but it almost seems like it doesn't even matter if Patrick Mahomes is banged up. Mm. But the fact that, like, look what happened to the San Francisco 49ers. They were going deep into postseasons, and last year, everything went off the rails as far as injuries felt like. The Chiefs somehow, this doesn't happen to them. They just find themselves back at least in the AFC Championship game. And we'll see about Philadelphia.
It's happened twice for the Niners. After they lost, they blew the lead in 2019. That season was even more injured than last year. Everybody went down in 20, I think it was 2020. The Chiefs, you're right, they have incredible health. But even last year, the O-line got hurt.
Yep.
And I think the loss to the Bucs, the O-line got hurt. That's where their one vulnerability seems to be. Patrick Mahomes goes out there and is limping around and doesn't even matter. It's just throwing darts all over the field.
Remember when he beat your Eagles with a high ankle sprain?
It's weird. I do remember that, Maggie. Thank you. Do you remember when he beat your Bills?
Yeah.
Also was said high ankle sprain?
I'm sure.
I don't even know. I don't even remember that, but I'm sure he did beat them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the one against Cincinnati, right? Where he beat Cincinnati, got the high ankle sprain in the second half, and then goes on and beats the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I mean, last year, their offense, Rashee Rice tore his ACL, and then Isaiah Pacheco got hurt. Their offense fell apart last year. So you can't say that the Chiefs are totally impervious to health issues.
I know, but they always make it back to the elite. Like, the season doesn't even start for them until the AFC Championship game. That's how crazy it is. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Our Ask You Today, does it matter how it looks tonight for the Dallas Cowboys? Eagles, I think you get a little, do you have pressure on you?
Oh my God.
If
they lost to the Cowboys after the Micah Parsons trade, are you kidding me? That would be a, That would be a huge disaster. If the Cowboys lose, they're 8.5-point dogs. Who cares? The Eagles lose, you don't think that'd be bad? That would be...
What does winning the Super Bowl get you? Any grace period whatsoever?
The Philly fans will be booing their heads off if they lose this game tonight. I mean, they'll
the
be booing
just
if it's
waiting to turn on this team.
That's Philadelphia. If the game's even close, they will start booing like mad. They were booing this preseason, like hard. Because I can't remember what it was. Like, they weren't blocking for Tanner McKee or something. It was...
that sounds about right.
Bunch of freaks.
Yeah, they are. But aren't we all? We're obsessed
not like
with
them.
This stuff. You know, it's funny. Brad just calling from Oregon that there's so many better games out there. Did you guys see that the college football opening weekend set all types of records for most viewed? I think the NFL might be right there with them.
Oh,
it was
I'm
that
sure.
Ohio State Texas
16.6 million. I think it was third on Fox of all time. Fox games, but usually been like night games. It was the biggest high noon. I mean, you got one versus two or one versus three.
Yeah.
No surprise. You got Arch.
I think the NFL could be setting up for the same thing. We didn't even get into Bills Ravens and all the other amazing matchups. We'll do that next.